Blog Talk Radio.
Crossover Radio. Tying the community together.
Everybody, it's your girl Tony Cartel. We back in effect. Miss y'all out there. I'm in the building with my boy Old Dunn. Old, tell the people what's up.
What's good, everybody? We back in the building.
Believe it, believe it. Oh, I missed you. What's up?
I'm good, you know, making moves.
Hey,
How
nothing
you
wrong with
been?
that. I'm all right. I'm just chilling. We've been out for a little while, vacation and doing it up. You know how that goes. But we back live in effect, about to give people what they listening for. So what's new with you before we get into these topics?
What's good with me?
Yeah.
Oh man, football season, you know?
Oh
Ready to
boy.
watch my Giants. That's right. You
Here
know how
we
you know I coach football too though.
Yeah,
Man,
yeah.
I
How'd
coach.
that go with the little one?
Yeah, I coach Pop Warner football, you know, dealing with the little ones, you know. It's cool. Like I love it. I enjoy it. Free City Lions, shout out. Everybody on that staff, all the coaches, all the players.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. Well, we got a few things that we want to touch on tonight. We're gonna touch on the Sandra Bland topic. We're gonna get into her. We're gonna keep that live, y'all. We're not gonna forget about it. We're not gonna give it life and then take it away again. But we're gonna keep that live to something that's actually done. It was actually a heated topic and heated conversation when it all hit the fan. But it not only was Sandra involved, there was others as well. So we definitely want to make sure that the public is aware of everyone that this affected, and we want to basically get your opinion on to feel as though, and we basically want to narrow it down to death by law. We call it death by law because there's a lot of police brutality going on out here, and it's not just happening, it's something that's been happening. So we want to bring it, cease and dismiss this thing. That's basically what we want to do as a whole. It's not right. It's not to be accepted, and we want to definitely get something done about it because it's sad. This is not something that we're talking about. People walking away, people are losing their lives behind it. And we just basically want to touch on that and get your opinions and most of all, see how we as a whole, as a black people, as a unit, as a one, can put some into this and get us all some justice so we can all be on one accord. The next thing that we're going to touch basically, the next two things actually, is one, the price of disloyalty. And the third thing is death do us part. The reason I blend both of those together because they're different, but yet one and the same. The price of disloyalty, what I mean by that is when we have a couple and one decides to go outside of their marriage. Now, that leaves the other person hurt and scorned when they find out what's going on with their spouse. And that spouse at that point tends to take matters into their own hands. And then they lash out on the other person, the side piece, the side chick or the side guy, or basically just take out their frustrations on the wrong person. And I kind of want to get into that, and I want to get some opinions out there on how, as if that was in your situation, or if you've ever been in that situation, how do you handle it and how would you handle it? Now, for the death do us part thing, I've taken notice to a lot of spouses, male and female, they've been basically, you know, they'll take it into their hands and kill the wife off or kill the husband off or cause some type of bodily harm to their wife just to get out of the marriage. And it's never that serious, people. I mean, if you're ready to walk away, then that's just what it is. If your marriage and your relationship has run its course, then that's just what it is. It's never that serious to the point that you take anyone's life. Not only are you hurting that person, you're hurting the children that's involved. You're killing off the family. Once you lose a family member, everyone loses in this situation. So we want to touch bases on that. We want to bring that to a head so we can go ahead and dead that situation in a whole. Let's go back to death by law. In a whole, not just with Sandra Bland, because there was like maybe four other women involved as well with this police brutality. And now I'm noticing more individuals, even down to a black cop that was shot by another officer, that he this officer just got off scot-free. What's your take on it, O?
You talking about the white officer who was freed after shooting the black officer?
Well, the brutality, the abuse, the murder, all into itself. So that's what it is. It's basically murder.
cops off are afforded certain, I hate to use the term, like, you know, luxuries or, you know, like certain things are extended towards them. But I think when it comes down to murder, like, you know, you're a police officer, you go through training, and you're trained to basically watch certain things, and if you feel like your life is in danger, then you have the right to shoot to kill. But, you know, for it to get to a extent where you are murdering another officer, then I think you, on some level, had a lack of judgment. You had a lack of judgment, or you had a opinion about this person that was preconceived. So for an officer to murder another officer, like, I feel like, you know, that wasn't police training. You know, because officers know how to speak to each other. Officers know how to communicate with each other. So if it gets to the point where an officer murders another officer, like, that wasn't what we trained you for. So I think that all that police, you know, luxuries and stuff should go out the window, and you should get charged with murder. Like, you really took somebody's life. Like, it ain't like you shot him in the leg the way his leg can heal, and y'all can have that conversation as to what went wrong. Like, you killed somebody. Like, he's dead. He's gone. Like, whatever family he had, you know, they'll never see him again. Whatever kids he had, you know, they'll never be able to, you know, their father never be able to see them graduate school or get married or nothing like that. Like, you know, and that's why I think people fail to realize the extent of murder. Like, murder is a serious thing, and I think that when the government and when law enforcement and when the courts and everything really take murder as what it is, and not just to a certain group of people, but to anybody, that I think a lot of things will change in this country. But it's like, oh, you know, not saying that, you know, the courts look at it as he was black, but, you know, we all try to find excuses in our own way. So, mm-hmm. like, I really think this cop should have got the book thrown at him. And he really should know what it feels like to take a family man away from a family. And that passes down to streets and anywhere else. Like you're really taking somebody away from their family. And you can't bring them back.
And I think the whole topic in a nutshell is that, number one, I definitely want to start off by saying, because I've said this many times before, I am one that I can actually say I'm on both sides of the fence, because I have family members that's in law enforcement, and I feel what my people feel as well. Now, not all cops are like this. There are some ones that genuinely appreciate and they are serious about their job, but not to the point to where as though they feel as though they have the power to rule the world or they are God in that aspect. They really do, you know, value their job and their position, and position is to help. At the end of the day, these officers are being paid by tax dollars. So which means you are here to protect and serve us as a whole, as a people, to keep our community safe, to keep us safe, not to smush our heads in the ground and not to throw us to the ground, not to abuse your authority and just simply go overboard in what you're doing. That's not what your job is meant for. But where my confusion comes in as there's a lot of ways that they're using, and it's not so much as being done by guns. There's a lot of ways that they're using to take out these people. But these officers have other means to apprehend a suspect or who they feel as though it's a suspect at that point, if you feel as though that this person is endangering their welfare. I mean, you're given tasers. Why would you reach for your gun if you, especially if you don't see a gun, and if you feel as though this person is too much for you to handle, then why don't you use your taser? That will still in itself give that person another chance. Now they got the community. There's some people out there that's actually afraid of the cops. There's kids that's afraid of the cops now. So where that's not getting us anywhere. You know, women don't even want to talk to the officers. Women don't even want to go with the officers, not even take two steps ahead. I saw a video today where the cop was just trying to talk to the lady, and she just kept saying, I don't trust you, I don't trust you. And it's sad that we're put in that predicament to where as though we can't even trust you even if you are one of the good ones. It's like one of that saying, one bad apple spoils a bunch of things. And it's really sad that we can't trust the people that are put here for us to trust, that are supposed to help us. And it's ridiculous. Like, how, I just can't understand for the life of me. And I try to rewind the situation with the Sandra Bland thing and try to think of what could have been possibly going through her mind those last few minutes of her life, you know, where she did nothing wrong. She did everything she was supposed to. Like, what could have been the fear? I can't fathom the fear that went through this woman and what went through her mind for the last few minutes of her life. And then there's no answers behind it? That's crazy.
True story, right? My son, my own son. From the time he was 4 years old, maybe three, he wanted to be a cop. And I can remember a conversation him having with my mother, his grandmother. And she was explaining to him how dangerous the job it was. And, you know, like, you get killed on duty and, you know, your family be sad. Not saying she was trying to deter him, but she was trying to give him a reality of what that job entailed. And right after that conversation, my son turned to me and said, I still want to be a cop. Now, at that time, he might have been seven to eight years old. 10 years old now. Do you know that he look at cops now like as, I wouldn't say the enemy?
Right.
But he has a whole different aspect. Or not just wanting to be a cop, but just dealing with cops on a daily basis.
Right.
And it was funny because anytime you ask the Omar, what you want to do, you go up. You say a cop. That's all he wanted to be. Either football player or a cop. And it's like now he has his outlook on cops that's completely different. And that's what bothers me as to what went on when you talk about the Mike Brown situation and you talk about the situation in Baltimore and you talk about all these situations with, you know what I'm saying, cops that these kids are watching and the way the news is promoting it.
Right.
It's like it's giving these kids an outlook to actually to deter them from being an upstanding law enforcement officer.
Right.
As they were supposed to be called or they were supposed to be looked at. You know, it's like, you know, they're looking at it as like they're the enemy.
Right.
I'm a young black man. I'm a young black kid. They out to kill me. Only blame law enforcement. I blame the media.
Right. You know, they big up everything. They take everything, and as my grandmother used to say back in the day, they take the cow by the ass and run with it. And that's
exactly.
Just the bottom line. Because it can be something so new, and it would make it as big as a mountain, and it's not even for the truth.
When you watch the news, and you see what happened in these situations, it basically made black people seem like their backs was against the wall.
Right.
Now, the news try to put a certain spin on it to where people that may not have been, never lived in the hood or don't understand the hood, they don't understand that spin that the news put on it is that our backs are against the wall. Everybody else saying that, oh, they want to be animals and they want to do this or they want to do that. So, you know what I'm saying? But we saw it how we saw it. And it's like, yo, you know, like Tupac had the song, you know, and he said, you know, who can you trust?
Right.
Like, if we can't trust the people who makes a living protecting us, like, protecting me is how you feed your family.
Right.
If we can't trust that, what do we have to trust?
Nothing.
So, when it comes down to it, you got these kids growing up, and they looking at it. Their whole perception is screwed. To be mother, it is fucked up. Like, if anybody know my son and know how bad he wanted to be a cop, and it's funny because just recently, as the other day, we were standing by Subway on Bloomfield Avenue, and a couple of county officers got out of the car to go in Subway to get something to eat. The look on his face And I seen that look, and I said, wow, his whole perception of police officers is different.
Right.
Only thing I could walk up to him and say was, Omar, all cops are not bad. And one of the cops actually spoke to him. He said hi, but it was like with hesitation.
Right.
Where my son used to walk up to cops and shake their hand, you know, talk to them and everything. Like, he used to do all that. So, like you said, with the whole Sandra Bland, it's like, it's creating an image of police officers, and all of them don't deserve this image because they are good cops. Like, I know a lot of them personally.
Right.
Who are good people. But the way the media is creating it and the way everything is being put out there, it's almost like a white person not being from the hood. They don't know which black person to trust.
Right.
Us from the hood, we don't know which cops to trust. If we don't know them personally, we don't know if we could trust them.
And that's even like my daughter. My daughter right now is going to school to build up her studies for the field of being in the FBI. Like, there's, not only is she doing it, her cousin is doing it, which is India, which you often hear Keith Stiles talk about, which is her daughter. So, and I think speaking with those two individuals in general, their goal of doing it is because they see that something has to be done. There's a job that needs to be fulfilled, and a change has to be made. And that's my daughter's idea and her concept behind it. If I can go in and I can do it the way it's supposed to, then from the inside, then there can start being some changes going on. Because those are two young ladies with their heads on, I mean, these are dynamic, dynamic young ladies, do you hear me? Fresh out the hood, out the same hood you and I grew up in. Fresh out of the same hood that people are basically pointing the fingers and saying these are statistics. These two young ladies, amongst many, are their heads are on so strong, and I commend them both, not just because they're blood related, but the fact that a lot of us didn't take the path and the direction and the opportunity that these young ladies are taking at such a young age. But they are going towards that, even despite of all that is going on, they still know what they want to go for, what they're shooting for, what that tunnel vision is for, and they're going for it. But now I'm going to speak on my daughter's point of view. At the same time, she kind of separates the two between the FBI agent and a cop. Now, she'll say in a heartbeat, I hate cops, I hate cops. And I have to correct her. And no, baby, you don't hate cops. You just hate the bad ones that portray police officers. See, there's a difference. You know, because like you said, you can't put everybody in the same basket. And I'll say it to the end of the day. There's nothing that I'm embarrassed about. A lot of my family members are in law enforcement. My sister is one of the top detectives for Essex County, not just for one, just for the whole entire county. My sister is a detective on that team. So she looks up to her because that is to her godmother. She looks up to her and she keeps her, and I make sure she keeps her focus on her because that's a positive role model right there. That's who you want to look to as far as a role model is concerned. So she has that perception of cops are this and cops are that and cops are this, but it's not the truth because everybody, it's just that, it's just like in the hood where we're from. Not everybody in North run around with guns, robbing people, carjacking people. No, we're not all like that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But it's a few knuckleheads that makes it bad for a lot of the people that have to live there. So where,
you know,
so I go out of state and instantly people say, where are you from? And I say, Newark, New Jersey. They back up. Like, I just pulled the AK out of them. Like, what's wrong? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to take it a step further. It's only three ways that you can have a misconception about police officers. One is by what your peers say about them. Two is your personal experience. And three is the media. So a lot of times with your peers who is doing shit and they in and out of jail, and they sitting here and they got this whole thing of fuck cops, fuck this or fuck that. They you know, a lot of times cops be doing their job. Okay, right. You get locked up. You mad because this cop locked you up. So it's like, fuck him. You know, and, you know, my whole perception or my whole opinion on the whole what we believe, what cops are, and what they're out to do. First of all, the media got to stop trying to put a spin on what the hell is going on. Like, put the truth out there. If you out here doing grimy shit, you out here getting locked up. Don't get mad at the cop that locked you up.
Understand what the fuck you did. Right.
Understand what the fuck you did. Understand it's a part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, in all honesty, there are a lot of people go for a long time, and they build that fucking case, and when they
yep.
come get you, they take your ass down, and that's it.
Yep.
A lot of
exactly.
them just doing their fucking job. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them just doing their job. Now, if they lock you up and they put you in the back of the car and they beating the shit out you with a billy club because you had two bags of weed on you, then, yeah, you have a right to feel some type of way about that person.
Right.
Because in all reality, that uniform gave him the balls to do it. But in his
mm-hmm.
mind, in his heart, he wanted to do it anyway.
Right. That's the point right there. That's
he wanted
the point
to do it
right
anyway.
There.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to separate this person from this uniform to understand, okay, yes, I did put myself in this situation by doing what I was doing, but this person took it too far. He beat the shit out of me in the back of that seat or that car or when I was in that station for two bags of weed or whatever you want to have that ain't really nothing. He wanted to do it. He wanted to do it. And honestly, you get mad at everybody else that's trying to cover it up. Yes, you can. Because at the end of the day, right is right and wrong is wrong. And that's the thing. Like, everybody talk about, you know, how cops, you know, they protect each other. They watch out for each other. And, you know, like, they don't tell on each other or whatever, stuff like that. Like, where do they think gangs get that mentality from?
Right.
They get it from y'all. Being in y'all system, being under y'all, look,
mm-hmm.
you don't tell or you don't say nothing. So it's all a creation. And you know, I'm gonna go a little deeper with it. With the media. And honestly, I blame the media for a lot of things. I blame the media for a lot of things for the simple fact is that you know the control that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, you may be an anchor person, as you feel like, I'm just reporting it, I'm just doing my job, but you got this boss who's telling you what to report, what to say, what spin on it, you know what I'm saying, what angle to come at, but at the same time, for a dollar, you going with it.
Right.
So you just as bad as the people that's running it.
Right. Everything is controlled by a dollar. Everything is controlled. There's one person.
America is controlled by a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, it lies in the hands of that one individual, as far as the news or the media is concerned. It lies in the hands of that one individual that's basically ready to say, I don't give a fuck about this money. You know what I'm saying? Right is right, wrong is wrong. And if you notice, there have been certain anchors that has voiced their opinions and has really put the shit out there. But if you also notice that the same individuals, and they're not all, and they're not black people, they're white people, they have not lasted no more than 2 months later on that news station. You know what I'm saying? So whereas though, I understand you got a family to feed. I understand that you have a job to do, but at the same point, a change can be made, and it has to start somewhere. In order for a change to be made, in order for a building to be brought down, you have to take that bitch down brick by brick, stone by stone, dirt by dirt, piece by piece. You have to start somewhere. And there's no one starting, and everybody has this conception of, oh, I got to I just got to bum rush this shit head on, and I'm gonna take the whole shebang down. No, you can't do that. That's not smart. You don't work hard. You work smart, and that's what a lot of people are doing nowadays. They're reacting to and overreacting at the same time without stepping back and like, okay, let me strategize this for a minute. Let me see how I can get this and work in my favor, work in my yard. And also, as well as we need to, within the media and the newscasting, dig in that core and start from there, we also got to start in these homes. If we can clean up some of these homes and get shit together in our household, a lot of shit would do a whole 360 and turn the fuck around, and we'd be done with it. You know what I'm saying? And so if everybody, the key word is everybody take responsibility for something. Whatever you put your own ass in, take responsibility for that shit. You don't sit and make excuses for anything that you do. And I can't stand that. I can't stand for a person to constantly make an excuse for what they're doing. Oh, damn it, I stomped my foot. If the floor wasn't there, if the wall wasn't there, my foot would have never got stomped. What the fuck you mean, bitch? Watch where you going. You know what I'm saying? Stop trying to put off on somebody else. Take responsibility. That doesn't make you look weak. It doesn't make you look like you lost. You're being adult about it. You're being mature about it. You're taking responsibility, and a lot of us are not doing it. We got some serious cleaning up to do, and we just can't say, oh, if we stop these cops from killing us, then that's going to be the bottom line. No, motherfucker, because your little nephew is around the corner shooting the motherfucker he went to pre-K with. So don't try to focus the attention over here. What about your own shit? Clean that shit up. You clean up your neck of the woods. If you get in your car and you drive like you got some sense, the motherfuckers can't stop you. Not saying that they won't. I'm not saying that they won't, but they can't stop you, and they can't stop you. You know your rights, and they can't get that off. If you motherfuckers start hanging out on the corner, police won't be circling your neighborhood. If you won't stop doing shit that you know you ain't got no damn business doing, and they building cases, these motherfuckers won't come to the alleyway and your neck of the woods running up in Miss Margaret's backyard and shit where you got your shit stashed at. So clean up your shit. Exactly. Clean up your shit. And we won't have to deal with these motherfuckers.
I remember, maybe a year or so ago, I got pulled over for traffic warrant. And what happened was I had got a ticket. And I didn't pay. And I kind of forgot about the ticket, being busy man I am. And, I get pulled over for this ticket. Okay, we got a warrant. All right, so the officers that pulled me over, they was cool, they was calm, they was polite. I had my son and my daughter in the car or whatever, could you get somebody to come pick them up? Call my best friend. He came and got them, took them home or whatever, So now, they doing what they got to do. So this other officer pulls up. He jumps out the car with them, So they got me up in his car. Now, they really arrested me like they just pulled me over with a gun or something.
Right.
I'm like, y'all pulling me over for a traffic ticket. Like, y'all ain't even got to be acting like this.
Right.
So this attitude-ass, aggressive-ass officer coming to me, cut it out. Like, how do you expect us to treat you? I said, you'll treat me like the taxpayer I am.
Right.
I have a job. I'm in my uniform. I work. Run my fucking record, and you will see I have never seen inside of a fucking jail cell. This is how I'm talking to him. I have never seen inside a fucking jail cell. So when you walk to me, treat me like the taxpayer I am. Because if I was a few blocks up the hill, it'd be a whole fucking different situation.
Right.
So he cut it out. What?
Right.
I'm not no criminal that y'all pulling over. I'm getting pulled over for a traffic ticket. So then he looked at me, and I looked at him. Then he said, he said something to them, and he got his car and pulled off. My thing is, you're not going to sit here and think, because I'm being put in handcuffs, that I'm supposed to get into this whole, I'm a criminal mentality. No. I know what I'm getting pulled over for. I know the mistakes I made when not dealing with what I was supposed to deal with. But at the same time, just because you pull up and see other officers putting somebody in handcuffs, you're going to treat like a fucking criminal. No, we ain't about to do that.
Right. Exactly. A lot of people have, and this is what my biggest fear is, because I'm starting to see a lot of this happen because of the situations and what's going on. People are using this police brutality as an excuse. Now, the way you handle it is very mature about the situation. You know, you have rights. Ain't nobody telling you to be no yes sir, man, yes sir, yes ma'am ass nigga because, oh, these motherfuckers got badges and guns. No, absolutely. You are a taxpaying citizen. You have a right to voice your opinion. And if you feel as though you're being mishandled, you absolutely have a right to speak about it.
Yeah,
but a lot of
people for a traffic ticket.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people are taking advantage of this as well. Oh, because this punk motherfucker gonna pull me over, I'm getting ready to talk shit. I'm getting ready to talk shit to this motherfucker. I'm getting ready to use this to my advantage because, bam, I got this cell phone. I'll record when he start acting like an asshole. No, you can't do that. You can't play the middle between the ends. You cannot do that. You have to conduct yourself in a certain type of way. Don't go out there looking for shit if you don't want the shit. Don't look for the business if you don't want the business, because now you're actually looking to be an asshole. Instead of, you know what I'm saying, two assholes, somebody is, and nobody's going to back down because everybody feels like they're right. And even if you see a situation going on, like technology is a motherfucker these days, call 911. They might can edit that video and that dash cam, and I know a lot of officers now are walking around with body cams. And as we see, they are doing a lot of editing these cameras. But guess what you can't edit? You can't edit that 911 call. There's no fucking way. You can edit it and still be able to explain the edit once it hits court. You can't do it. Absolutely right. No fucking way. And then the thing about it, I saw a video the other day to where they had this man in the back seat, something similar to what your reason of being pulled over was for, but the cop just jumped like, "Stop reaching for my gun, stop reaching for my gun." You really see this man's hands in the air on the camera, but where they tried to cover the first initial cop car that pulled them over, they forgot about squad car number 2 and 3 that was picking up the same video. So they forgot about that video, and that was the video that was. There was one good person that said, "Fuck that, this ain't right. I'm submitting this to court," and the motherfuckers got dealt with.
Yeah, so that was a situation in Bloomfield, right?
Right, exactly.
Bloomfield, New Jersey.
So they got dealt with. You know what I'm saying? So it's ways that we can get some type of progress going on. There's ways that we can get justice. We just have to play. It's like I tell my kids, don't think that I can go for bat for you if you're not giving me the whole story. If you're telling me lies, if you're just as fucked up as the next person. I can't go out there line for you if you just as fucked up, if you're in the wrong just as well as they are. So if you keep your ass clean and your place shining, you'll be all right. I can go ahead and ride that ride for you. But if you just as fucked up as the next, don't come tell me shit, because you're going down with them.
Yeah, true. Cause I know growing up, my mother, she knew, like, if you tell her something about one of her kids, she knew if you was lying or not. My mother
right.
Was down to the T.
Right.
Because
right.
Like we didn't lie to her.
Mhm.
You know, we didn't cover nothing up. You know, especially me. I was bad as hell. Fuck it. I did it. Why you beat him up? I don't know.
I don't
know.
Right. So, I think that's our number one excuse. I don't know. That's the best thing you can do, because you gonna get your knocked in bed, knocked the fuck off.
Exactly.
I don't know.
He was just at the house, you know, eating sandwiches with us. Why is y'all fighting? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No.
That was my biggest excuse. But at the end of the day, like, you know, that on a bigger scale, it's like when you're looking at a group of people, you know what I'm saying? And it comes down to, like, suburban America. Like, everybody think everything is all perfect up there and life is good. Nah, you got some of the most fucked up families in certainly suburban America.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? They don't let that shit get out.
Right.
They keep it in their walls, in their neighborhood, and when the media or anybody else try to come in and try to get with this, nah, you're not coming up here doing that. But down here, I think we supposed to let, like, we don't understand the powers that we have.
Right.
To write, you know, and just being a citizen.
Because we're too busy thinking that the other way is the right way, and it's not. Because we, and when I say we, I'm just speaking as far as where I'm from. North New Jersey, anywhere you go, and I've been to many, 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 many places. These mothers, I tell you, I can't count on one hand how many people I have encountered with that said that they would not step foot in Newark, New Jersey. Do you hear me? And it's puzzling to me because this is some place that I love. You hear me? I love my city like I birthed it. I love this place. How dare you stand here and tell me you wouldn't step foot into my city? But I'm the inside looking out, speaking to the outside looking in. I grew up around it. This is the norm for me. This is the shit, like the shit that they fear of, the crackheads fighting, fiends fighting, and shit, motherfuckers running up on busting each other in the head. That shit was funny to us. We grew up on it. It was amusing to us. Not to say that it was right, but we got thick skin like that. But everybody ain't. That's why they say if you was born and raised in Newark, you can survive anywhere. We just a certain breed of people that was built for anything, any type of combat, any type of, and I love my people. I love them to death. But with that being said, we don't tend to think all the time. And I myself is still guilty of it. I'll react. I'll pop off before I start stepping back from the situation. Like, hold up. Let me think this out real quick. And let me mastermind my way of beating you at your own game. That's when we become adults and we rationalize things. But before, it was no talking to me. There was no talking. I didn't give a fuck if you was 8 to 80, crippled or crazy. I was going in your fucking mouth. You hear me? I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care. But what made me change was my daughter. When I first had my daughter, I was still a little hot-headed when she was growing up, and maybe to about the point she started turning 6 or 7. My daughter was very smart at a young age, and she was picking up on a lot of shit that I was doing. Now, if you can step back and see that your child is doing something and it's mimicking you and you have a problem with it, you have a problem with yourself. So I had to check myself. You understand what I'm saying? If I got a problem with this young lady across the street and she's a little younger than me, but she's walking around with short-ass shorts and cussing in front of this old lady. They're sitting at the bus stop, and she's walking around with a cigarette, and she acting real raunchy. I have a problem with me because I am my city. You understand what I'm saying? It's nothing for me to say. Let me holler at you for a minute, little mama. Let me talk to you real quick. There's a lot of your little girls that I mentor, and I tell them, I'm not telling you this because I just want to be able to tell you something. I'm telling you this because I once upon a time was you. I was that ignorant individual. I was the one that nobody wanted to deal with. I was the one that wasn't allowed at none of my friends' house. Their mother caught me there, then called the cops. Do you hear me? Get this little motherfucker away from my house. That was me. I was my own enemy. So if we stop and start there, then we can make progress. We can change some things. We can do a little something, but it really started baffling me to people was like, yo, I wouldn't step foot in that city. Are you crazy? North New Jersey. New Jersey is one of them. Chicago is another one. Detroit. No, I'm not going there. I have friends like, yo, come take a vacation with me. Come to North with me. Come chill in North with me. Who? Yeah, bitch, you going by yourself. Okay. No problem, but why you don't want to go? I ain't going there. I'm going to come back. Yo, that's not. Everybody, that's not what's going to happen. That doesn't mean, oh, if I step in North New Jersey, I ain't coming back home. No, that don't mean that. But like I said, we give off that perception. Our skin is thick, and we world to know that.
Like, okay, last week I was out of Illinois for a week, And you know, we went down into the city. We went down to the Navy Pier, walked around, chill, you know, got to see a few things. And the crazy thing is, like, mainly because of the media, when you think about Chicago, you think of, you know, the West Side, you think of the South Side, you think everything that's going on there. So it's like, oh, Chicago is fucked up. Yo, Chicago is actually a beautiful fucking city.
It is.
Yo, Chicago is a beautiful fucking city. Like, and, you know, like, when I was telling people, like, yeah, I'm going to spend a week out in Chicago, you know, I'm going to be out there on business for a week. Like, the first thing that came to mind or the first comment I got from people was about, you know, like, oh, you know, why are you going to Chicago? Be careful. Or, you know, don't go here or don't go there. Like, man, just like, you know, the reputation New York City had a few years ago. You know, it was like, oh, you going to New York? You know, like, oh, you know, everybody was thinking about the Best Buy and the Queensbridge and Bronx and Harlem. And, you know, like, that's what was affiliated with New York.
Right.
And it's just like Newark. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, one thing, like, when it comes to me promoting my city, and I go around, my thing is, yo, to look at me and to understand that, all right, everybody ain't bad in Newark.
Right.
Because, yo, like, I want people to know, like, yo, I met this guy from Newark, and he's one of the best fucking people that you could ever fucking meet. You know, like you know, I go out and I meet people, and they like, hey, you know, when you come move out here? You know, when you come out here? You know, when you come do this? When you come do that? Like, you know, like I feel the love.
Right.
You know, to where, you know, well, where you from? I'm from Newark. You from Newark? Yeah. You know, and when I give them me first, and then I tell them where I'm from.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of people get a whole different perspective.
Exactly.
Is that, yo, it's, you know, Newark is all right. Because I don't listen. You, if you want to sit down and talk to me about Newark, about, you know, the crime and whatever you hear on the news, I don't want to talk about that.
Exactly.
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the guys who run these basketball programs for these kids. I want to talk about the guys who run these football programs for these kids who out here volunteering their time and putting their time in to make it a better city. That's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to spend too much time on the negative shit. Because when I come to your city, chances are I'm going to find some negative shit. You know what I'm saying? But you're not going to sit and talk to me about your town about the negative shit. No. So we're not going to talk about my city, and we're not going to sit and have a whole conversation on the negative shit.
And yeah, exactly. And like with me, I worked for, before working for the company that I'm with now, I worked for two of the most biggest companies that the world, everybody in the world knows about. One was, I went from Humana, which is the health insurance, to LabCorp. And I speak to many people across the globe. I speak to doctors on a regular basis. They're calling in now for LabCorp. They're calling in for test results on things that ran tests for skin grafts, cancer patients, everything. I'm talking to the doctors all over the place. And when they speak to me, the first thing, you know, after talking to me for a minute, they say, you have an accent. Where are you from? And, you know, after a while conversating with them, I tell them I'm from Newark, New Jersey. And they're thrown back bucket, you know? They're thrown back like as though we are not supposed to be educated. That's one thing that I'm not. That's one thing that I am. I'm definitely educated. I stand before you 5'9", and I'm a very educated individual. But I am not what you see. I am not what you think. I am not what the media portrays us to be. And so is everyone else in our city. There's so many out there that have came out of these colleges and these schools, even if it's community down to a university, that we are very intelligent individuals, very. And for the few that are running amok in the city, it's havoc in every state. You know, it's just not North. But it's just the stereotype that we're thrown upon. Exactly. And then, you know, they listen to us and they're like, okay, it's kind of an easing point. So, okay, yeah, you know, it was nice speaking with you at the end of the conversation. It was very nice speaking with you. You do enjoy your day. And I'm talking about these are high people on high plateaus that I'm talking to that just, you know, look down on a lot of us. They look down on us. But we can't spend all night on just this one thing. But we definitely have some cleaning up. We have to make ourselves known for the better. We have to make ourselves known for something that who we are instead of who they want us to be. We are not what we call, like my mother says, baby, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. And I don't answer to what you make me out to be. I never was a statistic. I didn't have my baby and immediately ran to the welfare office and, oh, I'm going to get this 322 and I'm going to get it. No, I didn't do that. I stood up on my feet and I took my responsibility as well as many, 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 many others did. We held on to our shit. We did what we have to do, and we're trying to make a difference. But we are not what you call us, and we are not what you portray us to be. We are not your thoughts of us. So with that being said, we got to clean up some shit, and we got to make it so we get some respect somewhere down the line, because that's what it all boils down to. A lot of people does not have respect for who they think that we are. They don't have respect. They're not giving us the respect that's due. They're not respecting our green dollars the same way that their green dollars spend, and that's what we have to make the change at.
You know what it is, too? It's like, growing up in the situation that we grew up in, there's certain quality of what people, we don't see it as quality because they're not promoted as quality, but people that's not from here, they see it as a quality. And that's that when you grow up in an environment like North, like you, it's not many things that you fear. I got a cousin that grew up in Woodbridge, lived in Perth Amboy Avenue, you know, primarily suburban town. Like, he brings his son to North a lot. Like, he boxes, you know, my little cousin Malik Nelson, shout out to my little cousin. But, you know, like he always brought my son to North, hang out with, you know, my kids, you know, other family members and stuff, just to get a taste of the environment. And one day I asked him, I said, yo, like, your son, like, you got the blessing to raise your son up outside of the hood. Like, why would you bring him to the hood? Like, he said, cuz, I'm going to tell you like this. The way these kids out here is feeling. He said, if I could give my son that level of fearlessness combined with the education that he's getting, he said, yo, the fucking sky's the limit.
Exactly.
He said, exactly. The sky's the limit. And when he told me, you know, it made me think, like, yo, these kids don't fear nothing.
No, not at all.
And they don't see it as a quality. And you know what? I always wondered why I was always able to walk into a meeting or a job interview and I could sit down with my head up and be productive. Like, I have gotten more jobs walking to an interview, like, really, like, yo, I don't need to give a fuck. I'm going to go ahead and talk to him. I'm giving me. If he want to hire me, he do. If he don't, he don't. Fuck it. And, yo, I have gotten more jobs walking to interviews than, oh, I need to make sure I need to know what I'm supposed to say, and I don't want to say nothing wrong, and I got to make sure my body language right, and this, that, and the other. Yo, when I walk in interviews, like, man, fuck it. We going to sit down and have this conversation. And my thing was, you got to convince me why you don't want to hire me. Versus why I got to convince you why I should have this job.
Exactly.
When I walk into with that, and North gave me that attitude.
Exactly.
Like, yo, fuck it. Like, yo, we going to sit down and we going to talk. Cause that's all the interview is.
Yeah.
It's a fucking conversation. We going to sit down, we going to have this conversation. You're going to ask me a few questions about what I put on that piece of paper that you're sitting in, that's sitting in front of you, and I'm going to answer them, but we're going to talk. And ten times out of ten, I got jobs walking into interviews with that attitude. You know, I wasn't all, you know, professionally, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yo, all right, fuck it. He either going to hire me or he not. And when I sat down 10 times out of 10, I got the fucking job I was looking for. People told me, like, yo, I have interviewed hundreds of people, and you're one of the few people that gave me a real interview. Like, it wasn't scripted. It wasn't some shit that you try to remember. You told me about you. And like, you know, I try to school people on going to interviews and getting jobs. Like, yo, don't try to sit here and think you got to memorize this or memorize that. Go in there and give them you. Because right. You the one that's supposed to keep the fucking job. You remember? Right. You know, like, it's certain qualities that we do have growing up through what we grew up from. And, you know, like, we have to take what people try to put against us or what people try to stack against us, and we got to turn it into a positive situation and move forward. Prime example, like, yo, people realize why Jay-Z is as successful as they are. People say, you know, the whole, you know, Illuminati or he this or he that. Nah, Jay-Z was fearless.
Right.
He always been fearless. You know, like, he made the necessary moves, but throughout his whole journey, he was failing.
Absolutely. But you know what? We spent a little bit too long on, I didn't even realize time went by as long as we did talking about this one thing. We didn't even get a chance to touch the other topics. But
it's a real topic, yo.
Yeah, we're going to pick back up because as long as we keep talking about it, it's never going to end because, like I said, we got a lot of cleaning up to do. But we're going to pick back up and we're going to go ahead and touch those other two topics. And we want everybody to join us next week, same time, same place, so we can get into the core of those issues that we do have. But as for tonight, we're just trying to give you something to think about and something to basically relate on and just start within the home so we can clean up some of this stuff and we can get some justice and we can see ourselves as well as others in another light versus than what we're put, the light that we're put in, because it's more to us as a people, as a black people, than what they make us out to be. And all cops are not bad cops. We need to make sure that those people get recognized as well, and we need to make sure that we weed out the bad ones that do cause problems in the police force itself and make sure that they're dealt with, accountable, and held accountable for the situations that they put themselves in. The time has ticked, and unfortunately, we got to go ahead and end it for tonight. I thank y'all for coming out. Thank y'all for joining us. Thank y'all for listening in. We're going to meet y'all back here same time, same place. We appreciate those that are out there listening, and like I said, we're going to do it again. Y'all have a good night.
Crossover Radio, tying the community together.